Welcome to The Property Show, the show where we discuss what's going on in the property market, what it means for you, and of course those all important questions, what next for house prices and what next for interest rates. Joining me on today's show, I've got Andrew Montnake and Jenny Hammond. I'm Simon Lambert. This is our first show and it comes at an exciting time. We've just had the Brexit vote, so now there are a lot of questions around what next for the property market, what next for mortgage rates, what's going to happen. We're going to try and pick our way through some of those over the course of the show and try and find out what you can do to improve life for you. But first, a quick look at some of the things that have been in the news with Jenny. Jenny.
Well, first off, of course, Brexit. It's dominating every news agenda, isn't it? And the property market is no exception. And I think there's been a lot of panic out there, but I'm going to start with something from Nationwide that have actually surprisingly said prices were up in June by, I think it's 0.2%. And that goes against what everyone would thought, because they think of run up to the EU referendum, that they're going to be down, that sort of thing. But a lot of experts are warning that perhaps this is the calm before the storm and we're not actually seeing the full impact just yet. But I don't know if you think we'll be seeing a crash anytime soon, or at least a slowdown.
Well, I think one of the things that's actually likely to cause a slowdown is more to do with the buy-to-let rush that we saw at the start of the year, where there was a lot of property purchases pulled forward so that people didn't have to pay the higher stamp duty as of April the 1st. I guess that probably made you guys a bit busier, didn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, before that deadline, we were extremely busy. So the phone was ringing. People wanted to really get these deals done before the deadline. So there was that 2-week period afterwards where things slowed down again. But actually, we're seeing buy-to-let landlords trickling back. So a lot of them do think, actually, there's a good buying opportunity now. And they don't seem to be put off by the conditions and the tax changes as much as we thought.
And I think you have to remember, and this brings me to my next story, is there is still a housing crisis in the UK. And of course, a lot of people, they still need to get their foot on that property ladder. So it's obvious that now what's being affected more than anything is the high-end market. Of course, over the 2 million mark, that's where it's seeing, you know, prices go down. And anything between the 5 and 7 million, that's suffering the most. And of course, that you can't just blame that just on the EU referendum. As you said, stamp duty, it came into effect higher in April, so there was a rush before that, and then everyone, that sort of petered off a little bit. So I think you have to sort of watch that to see what happens as well.
Well, I think also the cost of moving, if you are buying an expensive home, £1 million-plus home now, is absolutely extortionate. You know, there was the changes to stamp duty that made it cheaper for most people buying under about 940,000. Once you go above that, especially if you start to get up to that £2 million mark, it starts to get very, very expensive.
And of course, a lot of these houses are second homes as well. People going from London buying their country estate. And of course, stamp duty's ridden for a second home. So that's another thing they have to consider, of course. But again, it's the thing, I don't think prices are going to go down that much in the good areas. Of course, location is key, near good schools, that sort of thing. So if it is in the right place, then I don't think people should be overduly concerned. But the next surprising story was from HomeTrack, and that is London has actually been pipped to the post of rising house prices. And do you know where now is the top rising house price by 0.3%? It's Bristol. So, yes, London is second in that. But they do think there'll be a deacceleration, so they don't see house prices rising that much.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it comes a point where London can't lead the pack forever, doesn't it?
No, absolutely.
It certainly has been for quite some time.
Yeah.
You'd think the market's saturated by now. You'd hope, if as a buyer, you'd hope the market is anyway, but we'll see. And so, of course, the big story along with Brexit is whether the Bank of England is going to lower rates now. Of course, it's already at record low, 0.5%, but there has been talk by experts of 0.25%. So that's actually good news for buyers, because hopefully, and I wonder whether you'll agree, this might mean that mortgages will be lower. It's a good time to actually sort of negotiate a mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, mortgage rates are really cheap, and they look as if they're going to get, in the short term at least, cheaper. I mean, we've seen people like HSBC come out with 2-year fixes at 0.99%. That is extraordinary. And 5-year fixes as well have gone down under 2%. So there might be a little reaction from lenders. They still want to lend. They still want to get business in. So we might see some more competitive pressure on the back of these rate falls. So we should see some even cheaper rates, but I'm not sure how long that will continue.
Well, even Bank of America, they've even gone one step further and said maybe rates will go down to zero. And if that kind of thing happens, I mean, what sort of impact would that have on the mortgage market?
Well, it will have an impact, but lenders will be loath to reduce their rates too much because it does affect their margins. And remember, they have to balance things by attracting savers in on the other end. So if you've got a base rate at 0%, I mean, savers are getting not very much at the moment. So that will be even worse on that end of the spectrum. So it is a balancing act. I do think we will see a base rate cut probably in August. And it will be interesting to see which lenders do then react to that and pass on that saving.
I think it's certainly something to keep an eye on if you are buying anyway.
Indeed. And we will be coming back to mortgages and the all-important question of how to get one in a few minutes. But first, our two-minute guide. And today we're going to be doing the two-minute guide to house price indices. Now, every month there are a raft of house price indices. You'll see them reported in the press. We've got the Nationwide, we've got the Halifax, we've got the Land Registry. But the question is, which one's correct? Which one do you trust? How much does the average house cost? Well, this is a question we get asked all the time. And the answer is, really, they're all compiled differently. There is no such thing as an average house. If you look at the Nationwide and the Halifax, for example, they look at their own mortgage approvals. That means that they deliver a very timely house price index. So basically, they will report at the end of the month, pretty much, what has been happening that month. And you can see the trend of properties, but they will be looking at their own mortgage data. Now, as two of the biggest mortgage lenders in the country, they have an awful lot of mortgage data and mortgage data that goes back a very, very long way. But does that give an entirely accurate picture of the average home in the UK? Not so sure. So we used to get a lot of readers, for example, leaving comments on This Is Money stories saying, well, I'll wait for the Land Registry House Price Index. That's the one that tells the truth. Except, of course, the Land Registry Monthly House Price Index only covered England and Wales and used a thing called repeat sales regression, which meant that it was only covered properties that were sold multiple times since 1995. So if a property had been held onto for a long time, it wasn't covered. If a new build property was sold, it wasn't covered either. And that obviously, as we know, takes out quite a large chunk of the market. Now, the Nationwide, the Halifax and the Land Registry all put the average house price at about £190,000. There was another index from the ONS, which used data from the Regulated Mortgage Survey. Are you following me still here? That put the average house price at £290,000. That's quite a big gap. Now, the ONS and the Land Registry one have been merged to create the new official house price index. That tells you the average house is £209,000. So, do we trust it? Well, this one uses price paid data and it uses a lot more attributes about properties. For example, their size, their location, things from the valuation office, stuff to do with council tax, all those extra bits of information. Really, though, is there an average house? If you lined up every single house in the country and you chose the one in the middle, the median, which is the best average, how much would it cost? Who knows? But it's a great way of tracking prices, and we'll continue to report them every month. Just take them with a pinch of salt. And that's the two-minute guide to house price indices. And now, on to mortgage rates. A bit of light relief for me.
That.
I feel absolutely exhausted after that. So, Andrew, we were talking about interest rates and the suggestion that the Bank of England will cut. How much good would a quarter point cut in interest rates really do? And is it worth it? And do you think they'll actually do it?
I think they will do it. I think they will do something. I think Carney has come out and been very, well, as clear as Carney can be on that type of thing. So, yes, he has said he'll do things before just to calm the markets and not actually followed through. But I think this time is different. So I think, as I said earlier, maybe in August, you'll probably see a quarter point cut. Some people think he'll go further and actually just go all the way to zero, but I'm not so sure. I think he'll probably go a quarter, maybe reintroduce some more quantitative easing. And then at least that leaves him with a little bit more that he can then go back and do. If he goes straight to zero straight away, there's nowhere really he can go unless he goes negative, which we have seen in some countries, but Carney's been outspoken about not going negative in
and
the past.
Investors decided they really didn't like the idea of negative rates at the start
absolutely.
Of the year, didn't they? So
absolutely.
I'm not so sure that we would go negative. No. I mean, and also there's the impact on savers who have been, you know, severely hammered by the aftermath of the financial crisis. And there is an argument, of which I possibly sign up to quite a bit of it, that perhaps super low interest rates are part of the problem. But if you're one of those people with a tracker mortgage, you should see your rate fall, shouldn't you?
Yeah, it's really important to check the small print if you've got a tracker mortgage, because what happened after the last crisis, when rates were cut dramatically, a lot of lenders on their new tracker rates put in collars. So these are floors that beyond which a rate cannot fall. Now, for some that's zero, some it might be a little bit more. So don't automatically think that the lower rates go, your rate is automatically going to go all the way down with it. It's important to look at that. The other thing is that actually some lenders, and Barclays are a good example, they don't actually follow the Bank of England base rate. It's Barclays base rate. So by rights, they don't have to pass on the cut. They have always followed Bank of England in the past, but they don't necessarily have to do that. So it's worth looking at the small print of your mortgage and just double-checking all that.
But if somebody is looking for a mortgage now, do you think it's worth them waiting just to see what happens with interest rates? Because maybe they'll get a better deal a couple of months down the line, or do you think they should just negotiate now and not risk losing that house?
I've always been a big believer in negotiating now when you actually want to do something. So what's the fundamental reason that you want to buy a house? For most people, it's they want to move out of home, family pressures, school catchment areas, divorce, or actually they've got to move for work. And those underlying fundamentals don't change. It's really dangerous to try and play the market. We've seen that before, that people have expected something to happen and lo and behold, something else comes along and changes everything. So I'm a big believer in, at the moment, I actually think there are some really good rates available. If they do fall, it ain't going to fall dramatically. You might save a few quid, but not at...
I mean, they're pretty low massive. Already,
they're
aren't they?
They're pretty low at the moment. And also, things can change. So, you know, it might be that banks, as I said before, are loath to pass on anymore. There could be some other pressures, some other economic issues that come to the fore, which actually means that pricing actually rises. We don't know how long this low rate period is going to last.
I mean, borrowers are in something of a sweet spot at the moment, aren't they? Because banks have been relatively confident. You know, their balance sheets don't look too bad, or certainly not as bad as they once did. Mm. House prices have been rising. The economy's been trundling along okay. And that makes a bank or a building society fairly happy to lend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But once that confidence ebbs away, you run the risk of, yes, interest rates may be cut in terms of the base rate, but those banks might have lost the confidence to lend you money.
Yeah, and that's what Governor Carney is trying to instill back into the banks, is that confidence. Today he's announced a relaxation of some certain capital rules, which means hopefully it'll be easier for banks to lend more. So he's trying to entice them to keep lending. So I think it is a sweet spot at the moment. I think there are some good deals you can negotiate on properties. I think people are more... they're probably happier to entertain asking price reductions at the moment. So it's always worth negotiating and negotiate hard at the moment.
So you think they could take advantage then almost of this Brexit vote, and maybe even if they've negotiated, put in a cheeky, you know, underprice, just say, oh, you know, this has happened, you know, I'm offering slightly less, or do you think that's a bit risky?
It's always risky, because underlying everything is supply and demand, and especially in certain areas of London, there are other buyers waiting in the wings who will snap up the property. But we are seeing that. We are seeing clients going back and renegotiating and saying, actually, we want to offer you £10,000 less now. And a lot of vendors are going for it. It's a negotiation at the end of the day, so I'd always recommend people negotiate.
I mean, if that seller can then themselves get money off, obviously, it then filters down. It's
Absolutely.
Only the person at the very top, and quite often the person at the very top will have made a lot of money on the property they're selling, or it may even be a probate sale or something like that, where the proceeds being divided up. And it can be that, you know, the actual importance of, say, that £10,000 or £20,000 gets diluted the further up you get.
Exactly.
But I mean, so would you say, obviously the Chancellor went around telling people that if we voted for Brexit, it was terrible, house prices were going to fall, the ceiling was going to fall in, and understandably people are sitting on their hands. But is this a good time, a bad time to be buying a house? If you can get over how expensive they are, obviously.
Yeah.
Does it look like a bad time to buy a house or a good time?
I'm always asked that question, and I always say there's never a good time, never a bad time to buy a house. Again, it depends what your circumstances are. Don't think of owning a property as an investment. It's a home. So most people buy property for a home, and it's a long-term thing. I think sometimes people get carried away with, oh, my prices, the value of my home has fallen this week, or it's not as what I paid for it 6 months ago. It doesn't matter. Most people purchase a property and stay in it for a long period of time. And generally speaking, it's unlikely if you purchase a property now, in my opinion, in 5-10 years' time, that property is going to be worth less than you paid for it now. So I think it's why, think about why you're buying a property and live in it as a home. So
be comfortable that you can stay there for some time.
Exactly.
If you're buying a property that you think you might need to move out of in a year or two's time, think very carefully
very
about buying that property.
Yeah, that's a very different conversation.
And so in this environment, as Simon said, there are some good deals out there. Would you say the best way to go towards a mortgage is to go for a tracker, or do you think you should get a fixed 2-year or indeed a fixed 5-year? What do you think is the best way to approach that?
Again, it does depend on the client themselves. So I like 5 years fixes, personally.
It adds a little bit of security,
I think
doesn't it?
It's security in an uncertain world at the moment. So if you do want that security, if you are the type of person who actually... You know what, you are going to stay up at night worrying about every night, every time there's a base rate decision, then a 5-year fix is probably for you. Mm. But if you do need something more flexible, there are a lot of people who have bonus payments, want something a bit more flexible. They want to be able to pay off lump sums when they need to. Or they think, actually, I'm not going to be in the property 5 years. I might be starting a family in 3 years' time, and then I'll need to move to a bigger place. Then maybe a 2-year fix or a tracker is best. But there's no right or wrong. And to be honest, trackers, 2-year fixes, 3-year fixes, 5-year fixes, even 10-year fixes are fabulous value at the moment.
Andrew, thank you very much. That's all we've got time for today. Jenny, thank you very much. Join us next time on The Property Show. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.